Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. You're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com. Well, this week has been a crazy week with the uprising in Egypt, the hypocrisy of the U.S. empire, and so many things going on. Our guest today is a guest we've had on three times before, Larry Pinkney. Brother Larry is an editorial board member of Black Commentator and a veteran of the Black Panther Party. He's the former Minister of Interior of the Republic of New Africa and a former political prisoner. Brother Larry was first on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox right before Obama was inaugurated to give his analysis of the future Obama regime. Then he was on a year after to give us his analysis of Obama's first year, and he's on this week to talk about Obama's second year in office, the future of the United States of America, of our political future, our social future, and also analysis of the hypocrisy of the U.S. response in Africa, in Egypt particularly. Brother Larry, welcome to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. We really have to stop meeting like this, don't we?
We do indeed, but you know, Cindy, my sister, it is always a delight and an honor to be on your program.
Well, we always like to have you on the program. We have a couple of things we want to talk to you about today. You were on the first time you were on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox right before Obama was inaugurated, and then you came on again to evaluate his first year. Now we're heading into the third year of the Obama administration. What's your analysis of the first 2 years of his presidency?
Well, let's, you know, make some links and cut straight, you know, to the crux of the matter. You know, the fact of the matter is that, in essence, U.S. President Barack Obama has made it crystal clear that essentially what he is a Chicago-style national and international gangster in blackface. Now, I say that, and I say it quite seriously, because Barack Obama, U.S. president, now in his third year, has in fact widened the bloody wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. He rains down horrible drone missiles on the people of Pakistan. You know, the Obama's Nobel Peace Prize makes the Peace Prize an absolute and utter mockery. And black, white, brown, red, and yellow people need to be aware of that.
How have things improved in the United States or not improved in the United States for people of color during the Obama administration? The people who had this unlimited, ecstatic hope in this new president?
Well, unfortunately, and we must be real, unfortunately, things have not improved. In fact, I was reading statistics from a number of sources, both government and non-government, which indicate that across the board, from everything relating to people of color, and not just people of color, but white folks too, let's be blunt, that economically, conditions are far, far worse. Things like education, the access to education, things like being able to have decent jobs, things like being able to have access to decent and affordable housing, things like being able to feed one's family, all of these things have deteriorated across the board. And again, I emphasize being in the third year of the Obama-Biden regime. So, no, things have not gotten better in any way, except now, and this is the big exception, for the corporate military apparatus. Things
right.
have gotten great for them, trillions of dollars, trillions, not billions, but trillions of dollars have gone to Wall Street, the Wall Street bankers, the Wall Street bloodsuckers, vultures. Oh, they're having a grand old time. And but everyday black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, conditions have deteriorated and are steadily deteriorating, contrary to the mythology that the corporate stream media continues to spew forth.
Well, and I think that's why your voice and Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox and other progressive writers and bloggers and media is so important, because people are getting mixed messages. They're being told the economy's improving, and they must be thinking, well, then what's wrong with me? How come I don't have a job? How come I'm losing my house? How come the infrastructure in my community is crumbling if the economy is improving?
Right. And, I mean, you hit the nail, as you always do, Cindy, right on the head. That's part and parcel of the corporate stream media's job. Their job is to disinform, to misinform, to mislead, to omit, and definitely to victimize the victim. And the victims are everyday people. You just hit the nail right on the head, because it's to make their job is to try and make everyday folks, and we're in the overwhelming majority, everyday folks.
Right.
Is to try and make us feel that it's something wrong with us, when in fact it is this same putrid, despicable, ongoing corporate military system of bloodsucking that's affecting the overwhelming majority of people. So what can I say? You've already said it.
Well, and I think, too, is that it's also the system's also designed to isolate us from our brothers and sisters, so we don't realize that it's not our problem, it's the problem of the system.
That's right. In my column, it's called Keeping It Real, in the Black Commentator, which is at www.blackcommentator.com. Anyway, in my column, I try to emphasize in every single column that what we need is systemic change, not cosmetic mannequin change, but systemic change that deals directly with the fundamental structural problems and contradictions, if you will, of this system.
Do you see any change in just like regular people, maybe people like your readers? I know when Obama first became president, and I was criticizing him the same way I criticized Bush for doing the same thing, I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of support, and I had, you know, as much hate mail as I did when I first started criticizing Bush, but then this hate mail came from the other side of the political spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You must have gone through the same thing. I'm noticing more people are waking up to the sham of the two-party system. Do you find that in your correspondence and the people that you associate with?
I absolutely do. Absolutely. And yes, you can imagine, as a black American, as a black person, 3 years ago when I was writing that people had better pay attention, you know, remember the Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain? And I was saying, you better pay all the attention to the man behind the curtain. Well, at that time, people were saying, well, how can you tell the truth? Well, they didn't say tell the truth, but that's what they meant. How can you say these things about a brother? And my response, of course, was, what determines who or what a brother or sister is? Certainly not a bloodsucker. So I am finding, I'm pleased to say, more and more people, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, across the board, I'm finding more and more people waking up, and that's what reality does. Reality has a way of kicking us in our posteriors, like it or not.
Well, let's shift gears then and talk about what's happening in current events right now with the uprising of, you know, Arab people in countries like Tunisia and Egypt, Jordan, Yemen. And how is that linked to the U.S. empire, these uprisings? I'd like to hear your thoughts about that.
Well, there are direct links. I'm so glad you put that out there, Cindy, because there are direct links. It's time for us to, as I say, clean our own house. And a part of doing that is understanding that this corporate military apparatus, the U.S. corporate military apparatus, which is waging perpetual war is both covert and overt. Let me give an example. What's going on, for example, in Egypt with the uprising of the people, okay, is what does it come from? Well, it springs forth from the oppression, both economic and political oppression, and I mean serious oppression, by the Mubarak dictator. And it's not enough to say Mubarak dictator. Let me be clear. The U.S.-backed Mubarak dictator.
Right.
Okay? Real clear about that. And also, let me draw another link, if I may. Egypt.
Yeah.
Is one of those countries, one of many, that the Obama-Biden regime, and Bush had started it, but the Obama-Biden regime has widened it by using something called rendition, which, of course, is, mm-hmm. is U.S. kidnapping of people around the world. Well, Egypt was one of the receiving countries. In other words, the United States would arrest people in various parts of the world and
right.
send them to where? To Egypt to be imprisoned and tortured. So all this nonsense that we hear being spewed forth by Obama and his minions and the corporate stream media about, oh, how it's so important, democracy and justice. The Egyptian people and people in Tunisia, people in Pakistan, people in Iraq, Afghanistan, Haiti, really the whole of Africa for that matter, but people around the world know that that is nothing more than hypocrisy. There are direct links between the corporate military, U.S. corporate military, complex or apparatus, and the repression of people around the world, which I must quickly add, our own political repression in this country with government agents kicking down our doors and all of these so-called legal processes to stifle dissent. In this country, not to mention other countries, not to mention also the so-called Patriot Act, which is nothing more than a codification of the infamous COINTELPRO counterintelligence program.
Right, right. Well, of course, and with the FBI literally kicking down doors of peace and justice activists in this country,
mm-hmm.
it's definitely turning into a police state, but most Americans, it doesn't even touch their lives.
Yes, it doesn't touch their lives as they can see it at this point, but
it will.
It will, and you know, it's no coincidence that U.S. Vice President Biden made it quite clear publicly that, and I'm linking again, made it quite clear publicly that the Egyptian dictator Hosni Mubarak is his quote friend unquote. Well, if Mubarak is his friend, then who are his enemies? It has to be people in this country. The enemies
right.
have to be people in this country and around the world who want justice and human rights. Thus, we see all of the political, economic, and social repression inside this country, but we need to also link it to what's going on around the world outside of the United States.
And I would direct people who want to read more about this to your newest article in the Black Commentator. It's called U.S. Hypocrisy Detonates Around the World. And I just want to tell you a quick little story. On my Facebook page, I posted a picture of Barack Obama and Hosni Mubarak sitting in the White House chuckling it up with each other like these people in the elite robber class like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're chuckling with each other while they're planning the oppression and murder of us. But so I posted this picture and I put Mu Barack Obama, you know, connecting Mubarak with Barack, Mu Barack Obama, let the people go. Mm-hmm. And this one person came and he told me, he goes, Cindy, don't link Barack Obama and Mubarak together because you're just going to inflame the Muslims in Egypt and they're going to elect the Muslim Brotherhood and then it's going to be another Iran all over again and nobody wants that. And my response to him was, really? me posting a picture of Obama and Mubarak on my Facebook wall is going to inflame the Muslims in Egypt. Don't you think they know that the United States has been responsible for paying and giving the government of Egypt and their military the weapons that are oppressing them right now and the money to oppress them, mm-hmm. and that Mubarak is getting rich and the other elites are getting rich while the people of Egypt are literally, you know, starving? Really, me posting a picture is going to inflame the Muslim people?
Yeah, that is absurd. It is ridiculous. And it is a classic example of somebody sticking their head in the sand. I'm trying to be nice since this is a radio program. But, you know, they need to remove everything, you know, from the sand and somewhere else as well. The reality is that the people who are inflaming, quote unquote, chaos, the people who are inflaming, quote unquote, hatred, is in fact the corporate military apparatus, of which Barack Obama is the chief spokesperson. And we have to be real about this and stop tiptoeing through the tulips. We have to stop trying to, you know, sugarcoat this nonsense and tell the truth. Telling the truth does not inflame anything. Telling the truth is speaking truth to power. That's all we're doing. And if we're going to inflame something, if that's what truth does, then maybe we need some more truth tellers out there. People are inflamed for their desire, or I should say in their desire, for justice, for human rights, for dignity, for decent housing, etc., just in this country and all countries throughout the world. So I commend you, Cindy, and I say this all the time, and I mean it. You know, I've written about it. You know, you didn't just begin this year or last year or year before last criticizing and pointing out the contradictions, dangerous contradictions, with respect to the Obama-Biden regime. You did the same thing with none other than George W. Bush, the butcher, okay?
Right.
So your honesty, you have been honest and you have been consistent. These liberals who run around here playing this silly and very, very dangerous and hypocritical game need to be told straight to their faces that it's time to be real. And to you, my sister, I thank you for standing tall and being for real.
Well, this isn't about me, Brother Larry, but I thank you for those very kind words. And you're right, the so-called liberals are starting to question Obama now, and they'll maybe support somebody to run a primary campaign against him, which is a doomed primary campaign. But as soon as Obama gets the renomination, they're going to support Obama, the murderer. They're mm-hmm. going to support Obama, the torturer, Obama, the robber, Obama, the oppressor. When it's like, if you don't support him today and what he's doing, why are you going to support him, you know, when he gets the nomination in 2012? Because he'll be doing the same thing.
It's called hypocrisy.
It's hypocrisy. And you write about the sham of democracy in your new article. Can you talk a little bit about the sham of democracy?
Well, essentially what I'm pointing out is that it is incumbent upon all of us, black, white, brown, red, yellow folk, internally and throughout the world. It is incumbent upon us as human beings to be honest with ourselves, to stop playing these games. The sham, when we talk about democracy in other countries, which is really despicable to hear coming out of our so-called leaders, and they're really misleaders, out of their mouths, words like justice, human rights, democracy, when in this country, we don't have justice, we don't have human rights, we don't have democracy, we have a corporate plutocracy. And it's gone so far now, as I pointed out in my current article, that the courts have actually granted corporations personhood as if they are people. not blood-sucking the people, but as if they are people, which they are not. So this is a sham. This is an unacceptable sham for us or for any people anywhere. And the only people who are going to change it are we ourselves, not these blood-sucking, vulturous, hypocritical politicians, and I don't care what their color or what their gender.
Well, Brother Larry, you've been doing this for decades now. What do you think it's going to take for the people of the United States to rise up against these bloodsuckers, you know, which is a great description of the corporate elite and the government in this country? What do you think it's going to take before the people of the United States do rise up and say, no, it's enough. You're not going to steal any more of our money or our precious children to fight your wars for profit? When are we going to stand up like that?
Well, I would be quick to say that more and more, not nearly enough, but more and more people are beginning that process, thanks to you, Cindy, and others, myself included, who have been waging this struggle a very long time. But struggle and consciousness, one cannot have effective struggle without having political consciousness. And this is our job, to make sure, to ensure that we keep putting it out there. I think the process for real change, real systemic change in this country has already begun. Sometimes we don't see it because we're right in the trenches, right in the forest, as it were. But I believe the process has begun. And I strongly believe, because based on what I am seeing and others are seeing, that struggle is a dialectical, protracted process. And we have to reach out our hands to each other, each one teach one, pull each other up, keep each other strong, keep each other going. And even in the midst of the political repression, and we are going through political repression in this country,
uh-huh,
and under Barack Obama and Biden, and let's not leave out the U.S. Congress and the judiciary, because they're all accomplices in this.
Right.
You know, the fact of the matter is that they can do all they want, but the more they push political repression down upon us, you know what? The irony is, the more people will become conscious. And the more people become conscious, the sooner they will say collectively, we will say collectively, no more.
Well, I hope it can't come soon enough in this country. And I know you've been doing it for decades. I've just been doing it for relatively a few years. But I have a very bad impatience problem. But we've seen the first 2 years of Obama's administration and we just have a couple minutes left, but the first couple years where they passed, you know, this corporate giveaway to the healthcare companies,
mm-hmm,
Obama has declared himself judge, jury, and executioner over any American he deems needs to be executed. I mean, so many things have happened in the last 2 years, and the Democrats blamed it on the Blue Dog Democrats. Now they have, I think, with the Republican House of Representatives, this political elite class will have carte blanche, because Obama will keep on saying, oh, you know, it's the Republicans' fault. It's the Republicans' fault. It's the Republicans' fault. So what do you see in store for us in Obama's third year of his presidency?
I see in store more contradictions, but as we used to say in the Black Panther Party, and it still holds true today, contradictions sharpen the struggle. And so, yes, I do see, and when I say sharpen, I mean clarify the struggle.
Right.
And so I do see that. I see that, more of that. And you're absolutely right. The games that the Democrats and the Republicans play is a very vicious and bloody and hypocritical game that they are playing with the whole of the American people. As I say, they pimp the pain of the people. PPP. They pimp,
mm-hmm,
the pain of the people. And,
well,
you know, I think that as contradictions sharpen, become clearer, more and more people are seeing it, they're beginning to see it, and they will see it even more. So we can expect these games. But you know what? The veneer of Mr. Hope and Change, his veneer, has worn off.
Well, Brother Larry, thank you for your integrity and your sticking to your principles and enlightening us and, you know, enlightening many, many people. How can my readers give out your website again?
Okay, and first I want to say thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Lasima Tushinde Mbila Shaka. The struggle will succeed. The website is www.blackcommentator.com, and the column that I write in the Black Commentator is called Keeping It Real.
Well, thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care and stay strong, my sister.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
That was our guest, Brother Larry Pinckney of the Black Commentator. So please go to his site and read his newest article, U.S. Hypocrisy Detonates Around the World. Well, that's this week's edition of Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'd like to thank my engineer, Scott Cuddy, my webmaster, Rich Bowser, my producer, Mikey, our guest, Brother Larry Pinckney, and you, as always, for listening. Tune in next week, and our honored guest will be Cindy Corey, mother of the heroic Rachel Corey.
I must make my witness. I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know. The air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes. As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to riot, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it, my life has value. Chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Just get up from your chairs right now. Go stick your head out and yell and keep yelling, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore. Just get up from your chairs.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.